Now the fun begins.
Bridget.
Stop! You violated the law.
Welcome back to another episode of the Game Pass Gamecast, your weekly go-to podcast for all things Xbox, Xbox Game Pass, and of course, PC gaming, including news, rumors, and conversation around those damn good video games. You can catch new episodes of the show when they drop each and every Friday morning on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, SoundCloud, and all other major podcast services. So be sure to interact with us in any way possible with those on those platforms, I should say. Subscribe to us, rate us, review us, all that jazz, wherever you get a podcast at. And of course, I have to shill out our Twitter, so follow us on Twitter, at GPGCPodcast, to stay up to date with everything regarding the show, video games alike, and our dope giveaways. That's the best way to actually get something from the podcast, is like, if you want to win, you want to get a code, that's the best way. Follow us on Twitter, so shameless plug, as always. I'm your host, as always, Travis White, aka Travelist, on most internet platforms. Joining me, as always, my partner in crime, Mike P-Pack. Mike, what is good, what is going on, and what have you been playing this past week?
Not much has been going on in my life, just more of the same, but...
Fun fact, life got worse.
yeah, but, for me, what I've been playing the last week or so, it's just basically been a pretty steady diet of, playing some Left 4 Dead 2 with you guys, got to play some Age of Empires 2, it was fun to mix that into the rotation, felt pretty good just to get a little bit of something different in there. And then I got roped into playing Valorant today a little bit. So that's more of a fresh start. Don't know. Don't foresee that one sticking per se. But nevertheless, definitely got a few games of that in today. So
you took a nibble on the bait?
Yeah, I mean, I went to overtime, like triple overtime first game for a loss and wasted a lot of my time. So, you know, it is what it is.
Dude, that's the worst with especially like competitive games in that format, like obviously CSGO and Valorant, where one, it's such a time commitment. If you're going to play competitively, it is a time commitment. Like once you're buckled in, there's no like, I mean, you could, I guess, if you really wanted to like rage quit, that is obviously available for you to do, but most people stick it out, you know, through, and like, unless you just like fucking wash somebody out, like you're going to be there for at least, you know, anywhere from half an hour to an hour, like playing a game.
Yeah.
And it's
at least,
yeah. Like I remember when Valorant first launched and I think when it was still in beta and like its first big wave that everybody was playing it, like it was the hotness, that like I knew, I was like, okay, I get, and this was like peak pandemic obviously, like right at the beginning, and I was like, okay, I'm usually done with most of my bullshit with work around like, you know, 3 o'clock, because I'm able to fucking get it done super fast because I work from home and I'm more focused and all this shit. So get all my work done, and I'm like, you know what, before I wrap up and go to my, this before my fiance and I were living together, like before I go and hang out with her for the night or whatever, like I'll have a solid, you know, like 3 hours. I could at least get 3 games in. Like I knew exactly how many games I could probably get in. I always expected, like, this is the facility manager in me, or like game ops person when it comes to my job and whatnot, like I plan for every sporting event to go to overtime. Like every event we have, it goes to overtime, because if it doesn't, then that's great, that's awesome, but if it does, then you're prepared for it, yada yada, all that stuff. So like my time management on that, I was like, I at least got 3 games, like hopefully I get like 5, that'd be great, but knowing how this is gonna go, it's probably gonna be 3 games. But, like, that's the one thing that, like, especially as, like, we become somewhat of adults, I don't know if you'll ever be able to truly call us, like, it's just a kind of a blanket statement at this point, but, like, I don't know if we'll ever get to the truest form of adult, like, where, Kyle will be the closest one to us, because, I mean, he's right on the cusp of fatherhood, but, like...
Yeah, he'll be taking care of another human being, and I don't know that you can get much more adult than that.
Yeah, which is fucking frightening to think about. At some point, we're all going to be taking care of human beings, like, in some fashion. Like,
yeah,
that's scary to think about. Like, I think Adam's the best set up for... I take that back. In all seriousness, we're all going to be great fathers, I think. But it's scary to think about, like... I just... It's fascinating to think about Kyle taking care of a child. Like... The man, You know what? I'll leave it there. Yeah. I'll leave it there. But yeah, just in general, man, like, it's great to, like, sink into those games. And I think that's why I kind of, like, gravitated more, like, I mean, obviously, I've put hundreds of hours into, like, CSGO and things like that. And I'll always go to those, but it feels like more of my competitive fix with, I think I always gravitated more with arena shooters and even games like, you know, Overwatch, that kind of is a blend of a lot of things. Because a lot of, even if they're comp games, they're quick. They're not like, I know I can get in there and I could play probably two or three times the amount of, I'd probably say at least two games for the price of one Overwatch or CSGO, or not Overwatch, Valorant or CSGO comp match. You know, so, and I think as we get older, that kind of like reflects a little bit more on just like the lifestyle of being a quote unquote adult gamer, with a job and a family and things like that going on, that it's like, you know, at some points it's like, it's hard to be like, or justify like the commitment, especially when you lose. Like, I'm a competitive person like you, where it's like, even if I don't like, it's not going to ruin my night, but I'm still going to be like, fuck, like you said, I wasted an hour doing that. Like, yeah. I could have been playing Red Dead for an hour. I could have been doing anything else under the sun, hanging out with my family, being, you know, like IRL human being, like being social or something, unfortunately, but like, you know, I could be doing anything else, but you know, it's just to think about that, like the time management of like being adult gamer is just weird. But yeah, on my end, just kind of like still bouncing through Red Dead, you know, doing my play, you know, a replay of that yet again. And still obviously enjoying it a lot, but this past weekend went away for a little bit. We had a wedding to go to out in Philly, which was dope. It was a lot of fun. But my wife was in the wedding, so that meant she had to be, she was out and gone with like a lot of stuff that I obviously wasn't, I couldn't go to. Like, I had to just chill at the hotel. And another one of her really good friends, her boyfriend, also got a Steam Deck. So we were talking about that, but I was super hyped that he had the same idea as me, because his girlfriend was in the wedding too. He was like, I knew that I would have probably a solid like 5-6 hours to myself. And he was like, there is no way I'm not bringing my Steam Deck to this. So yeah. Like, it was a great time to like actually take it and like get some like a nice session of like sitting here and going through a full battery cycle kind of thing, to actually get some wear and tear on it. And to having like, you know, if there's downtimes at work or my lunch or something like that, being able to like pull it out, just like the Switch, and that allure that came with the Switch when it first, you know, was released and whatnot. But actually getting to sit down and get some hours into this game, you know, and actually maybe, you know, like last night, I was playing Red Dead for a little bit, got a little tired, but then I was like, you know what? I don't really feel like sitting at my computer right now. I kind of want to either lay on the couch or just fuck it, like lay in bed. So I thought about it. I was like, I could fucking keep playing Red Dead in bed. So like I went to bed and brought my Steam Deck, played a couple more missions of Red Dead. Like, the flexibility of that system of the Steam Deck is remarkable. If you have a Switch, which both of us have Switches, so like, we get the allure of that, of having the handheld or having this device that technically is very much a hybrid two-pronged device of soon, which you technically still can already, but there's more unofficial ways to do that. But soon Valve will release their docking system for it. So in all reality, you are basically getting a Valve Switch where you're going to be able to take your device, plug it in, dock it to the, you know, a monitor or whatever, plug in a USB, hub or whatever you want to call it, like, and plug in a mouse and keyboard and just like use it as a PC. You can install Windows on it. It has Linux built in. It's running off of Linux, well, SteamOS off of Linux, but like, you're able to install Windows on it. You can install Game Pass on it. You could do all of these things that you like. It is basically just a handheld PC. And it's remarkable how well that works, to the extent of, you know, I got the best model you can get. I got the 512 gigabyte M.2 SSD in it, and like, you know, the non-reflective screen, all that, because I'm one of those people, it's just like with cars, like, hey, I have to buy a new car or something like that. I'm already spending $20,000 on this vehicle. Like, what's the difference between $20,000 and $21,500 or $21,000 or $22,000 or whatever?
Yeah.
In the grand scheme of things, if I'm making this bigger purchase to get the thing I really would like, man, maybe I would like heated seats and the touchscreen or whatever. Like, so I don't have to, or nicer rims or something like that. That's, yeah, it's a little bit more, but I'd rather, I'm already spending 90% of that. Like, what's the difference between my monthly payment of 200 and 210, like, in the grand scheme?
Yeah.
So, like, I'm one of those people. So I was like, you know what? I'm making this investment. I want the nicer one, because you could obviously expand the memory with just a micro SD card, but anybody who really uses, you know, especially the audience they're garnering towards, which is a PC master race, you know, like, centered demographic, that they know all about, you know, drive speeds and things like that, that they know micro SD for a lot of big games and things like that isn't going to cut it. So I knew upgrading the internal software was going to be a little bit, or the internal memory, I mean, was going to be a little more. I didn't want to avoid the warranty or any of that shit. So I was like, I'll get the bigger one. But for what I spent on that at $600-some, like, I truly think that that price point is very justified for what you're able to do with this. At first, I was thinking, like, I'm going to get this, and I'm going to be like, you know what? It's really dope. It's fun. I don't feel like the money's worth it. And I still, I mean, granted, I've only had it for whatever, like a week and a half or something like that. But what I've gotten out of that already, and what I've gotten from, you know, I'm going to get this, and it's going to be, well, my Switch is sitting there, you know, the Switch is great whenever a new Zelda comes along, or a new Metroid, or Mario, or whatever, a new exclusive comes along. Outside of that, my Switch collects dust. Like, realistically, it does. And that sucks, but it's because I play a lot of stuff on PC. Even with most of my consoles, like, outside of really, you know, my Series X being my Game Pass machine for the most part, I play primarily on PC. I play, you know, stuff that, exclusives that come out on console on PS5 and Series X, and then obviously my Switch, but, like, I could legitimately see myself trading time with my Steam Deck, given the versatility and the flexibility and the power that comes built into it, with my library being, you know, almost 350 games or whatever. Like, having that and having the ability to, you know, clearly I own all these games when I talk about this, emulate stuff. I clearly own all these games, right, Mike? We own everything we emulate.
Yes.
You know, you can't catch us on anything, FBI. We own all of this. I know you're listening. You know, so where I'm able to just play all these games on, you know, that would be available, or things that are alluring for the Switch or whatever, like, I could have all those options readily available. If I want to play Metroid Prime, I could do it handheld, boom, right there on my Switch. It works. I could fucking add Dolphin to my goddamn Steam library, like, the emulator for GameCube. Like, it's a fascinating machine. The techie in me loves it. I think the build quality behind it is, if you're a fan of Valve and you're a fan of, you know, really overall, they've always been, you know, master craftsmen at the software end, and really kind of the internals of, or more so, they're great with the interactivity of the player and not necessarily how you interact with it, but they've been getting better at that. Like, I personally was a fan of the Steam Link. I still use my Steam Link. It's still plugged into my TV. Like, I'm one of those people. But they've never necessarily, they've never caught on truly, like, you know, you've seen a Nintendo or an Xbox or a Sony, you know, like, where they have a standalone piece of hardware that pushes, or that is pushed by, their great software. And that necessarily hasn't happened for Valve. I think this legitimately could be it, where the price point is bigger, but it's not, when you look at the Valve Index and how they thought, yes, Half-Life Alyx, it is a phenomenal experience, and this is going to push VR, and this is going to move units. And I'm sure that did to a small extent, but VR is very, 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 just, it's speaking to a very specific audience, where this speaks to everyone. If you enjoy video games to any extent, you realistically can find a way to enjoy this piece of hardware. And I think once some supply chain issue, things get figured out, and the demand obviously is through the roof for this, and it's hard to keep up with the production end of this. I literally got mine one calendar year after I pre-ordered it, so it's going to take a while, but I think when we get to that point where, and it's going to be a really interesting, I think, like, it's going to be really interesting to see how the sale of this goes and really be a thesis for the potential of, I know Sony's been really trying it with their PS Direct, where Valve's always really sold their hardware. They sold them in GameStops and Best Buys limited, you know, on a limited scale, but primarily when you're buying the Steam Link and when you were buying the Steam Link and the Steam controller and all this stuff, it was through Valve. You're buying it through Steam, yada, yada. I really am curious to see this being that thesis of Valve saying we have a hot commodity that everybody wants, not just select amount of people and people who are already in the ecosystem and all of this. We have a piece of hardware that everybody wants on, you know, could potentially be on the level of the Switch one day, like in terms of popularity because of how far reaching the software that you can use on there is, that it's going to be interesting to see of that use as a case study to say, yes, we don't need you, middleman. We don't need you, Best Buy. We don't need you, GameStop. We don't need you, Target, Walmart, whatever, to sell this. It's moving just fine through you. So, you know, peace. Like, you carry like the same six PC games for the past 10 years on your shelf that nobody ever buys because just nobody buys physical media for PC anymore, obviously. So, like, it's not the same as Sony saying, well, you know, we're going to go direct and fuck you, Best Buy. We're pulling out and just selling everything directly because then they don't move any software because so much of the physical market is still there. Like, people still need to go and buy physical because, you know, internet isn't there. But Valve's kind of has they have the footprint and the hold on the market to really kind of be that thesis of, hey, is this going to work long term of or in the future of? Yeah, we don't really need a Walmart. We don't need a Best Buy. We don't need this middleman to help us push that. We're doing just fine without you. So I'm going to be really interested to see that. But yeah, that's my early review of the Steam Deck. I mentioned last week, I got it literally, I think the day that, it was either the day before or the day of we recorded, and I had literally no time with it. So I said I'd report back this week. My review and progress on it is very glowing. I've had two or three crashes with Red Dead. Outside of that, I've had to reboot the system one time, and it was during, like, when I was installing the original software. So it's, outside of that, the UI has been snappy, it's been quick, everything's been exactly how I would expect it to be from somebody who does software so well, and somebody who clearly puts a lot of care and a lot of intricacies into their hardware, like Valve's been doing and wanting to push the hardware now for the past couple years in different avenues. It shows, and the price point reflects that in a very positive way, if you ask me. So, early review of the Steam Deck, there it is. Mike, let's get into the meat of our show now. And it kind of came out, the show kind of came together last minute, or at least the main meat that I want to talk about this week, because...
Meat.
What's that?
Schmeat.
Schmeat. the main meat and crux of the show really kind of fell on our lap before starting out, and it's about none other than Ubisoft.
and fucking Yves.
Yves Gaumont. Like you said, never trust a man named Yves. But yeah, Ubisoft, man. And I don't want to say, like, oh, they can't catch a break, but, like, because it's kind of self-inflicted at times, so I don't necessarily feel too bad. And I'm not saying that about, like, from the dev end of, like, Joe Blow working as a programmer, or it's from the executive end that they see the dollars and cents that it's going to cost to make these games and whatnot, and they're like, yeah, well, it doesn't matter that all these people's livelihoods depend on these games. Fuck it, we're done. It's only making $500 million and not $600 million? Cut them. Like,
yeah.
Like, the fuck out of here, you know? Anyways, though, it looks like we're going to have a little bit of a shakeup with Ubisoft in terms of what's coming out, what's still in production, and what isn't. So, Ubisoft's bad luck streak continues with delays, cancellations, cost-cutting, and more. This comes from Ethan Gotch over at Kotaku, as always. Link in the description. another big Ubisoft game has been delayed. Avatar: Frontiers of Pandora won't arrive in time for the release of James Cameron's feature film Avatar: The Way of the Water this December. It is now launching sometime after March 2023 at the earliest. And I made the joke, of course, on Where the Bluebird Sings, saying, well, I mean, I see that it's taking notes from its source material, considering considering Avatar's coming out. What is it, Mike? The year of our Lord 2022, the second one from a 2009 movie. I feel pretty safe. I think I'm in a safe space here to say this, Mike. Does anyone fucking care about Avatar? Like, in all honesty, it wasn't a bad movie. Like, the first one wasn't a bad movie. Like, I wouldn't say that. And it is the highest grossing movie. But that's because I think more so the technology at the time, like, yeah, nothing was doing that at the time. But, like, does anybody care about it 13 years later kind of thing?
Yeah, I don't know. I know, like, it's one of my favorite parts of Disney World is getting or doing the rite of passage or whatever.
True.
But, like, I've still never seen the movie.
Like, well, that's what I'm saying. Like, I don't know if this is more on Disney at this point than now that for the fact that, yeah, we own Fox now. This is technically the, you know, biggest movie ever. And it's an IP of one movie, you know, and of course at the time, like, yeah, like when the movie first came out, sequels were in the works and yada yada. But like at a certain point, I am going to be fascinated and glued to my screen, glued to Box Office Mojo this December. If this film actually does come out, I would think it's going to, because movie theaters are fucking booming right now and setting records and whatnot. I fully envision this movie to come out in December, like it's going to. I am going to be so fascinated with how much money this movie makes, like, compared to what we've seen now. And I know I'm getting super off track, but, like, Avatar just fucking fascinates me. That, like, the people are, like, I just don't know who literally has been asking, like, yeah, I cannot wait for the Avatar sequel. I've been waiting 13 years, like... It'd be one thing if it's like, we hear a lot from like, oh, I would love another Spider-Man movie. Or mm-hmm. let's think back. Like Superman. Like a lot of things right now, people really did like Henry Cavill as Superman. He had horrible fucking material from Zack Snyder, and like that's a big reason why those movies didn't work. But like, it's been gone long enough. People, like, he hasn't played Superman in years now at this point. You know, people have wanted, like, for the past, you know, half decade, hey, we'd love to see Henry Cavill actually get back into that role. Like, or we'd love to see another Superman movie. And that's a big, Superman's an iconic IP, but, like, same with, like, Jurassic Park, even. Like, Jurassic Park was away for a long time, but, like, there was at least people talking about Jurassic Park leading up to that. Like, Jurassic Park had, like, a mindset with people. Like, or, like, space and mind share, that's what I mean, with people. I don't think Avatar fucking has. It boggles my mind that they're just like, Avatar, we're keeping with it. I don't care. Like, who does James Cameron have, like, dirt on? Or, like, who does he have blackmail, this motherfucker had blackmail on? That he's, like, 13, like, no matter what, like, listen, you have to keep, like, one day I'm going to make this movie, no matter what you say. And if you don't let me, I'm going to tell everyone, like, I don't know.
That you pooped yourself.
Yeah, that you drank one time. Yeah, you shit yourself. Like,
I think that ultimately, when it comes to Hollywood, for better or worse, like, it is 100%, like, the fact that James Cameron, his name tied to anything, literally will print money in the box office. Almost, it doesn't matter if it was, like, the most boring story of all time. It feels like because James Cameron is involved, it, like, automatically has that weight. And that's, like, one of the biggest issues I have with Hollywood in general, is the fact that, like, certain people just, like, immediately are, like, automatic money printers whenever they're in something. Like, not that I don't think he's really good and that I don't really enjoy all of his work, but like Leonardo DiCaprio, the fact that Leonardo DiCaprio got off of his ass and decides to act, which, like, a lot of the time he is doing, like, he's trying to save the world, save the planet, which, like, I respect, but at the same time, like, when he, like, comes out of the woodwork, like, he's getting up there in age and stuff, but, like, because Leonardo DiCaprio is tied to something, it is automatically going to do extremely well in the box office. And see, like, a movie like The Revenant, which, like, I thoroughly enjoyed the movie, but I don't think it's, like, one that everyone, like, is walking out of and is, like, loving it, right? No. So, that's the problem that, like, I have with Hollywood. And luckily, like, it seems like video gaming's kind of getting out of that habit, if you will, because, like, I've basically admitted to doing that, being a show for, like, Bethesda and stuff, but, like, it is crazy to me that, and you do raise a really good question, it's, like, who actually had James Cameron, like, because James Cameron, 100%, the type of dude to, like, invite you over for dinner or whatever, or, like, invite you out for dinner to pitch you this, right? And then you're a studio exec, and you hear this pitch, and, like, it's almost like a scene out of Entourage. Like, I could see Ari Gold, like, literally busting out laughing at the table right in front of him and be like, oh, no, you're serious.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
Like, and then the studio exec's probably like, well, I don't know, James. And then, you know, he calls in the favor, like, well, I know that you did hooker or did blow and fucked hookers at the release of the last one. So
it feels
how would you feel if your wife found out about that?
Like, I feel like it's like almost like a like an IRL South Park skit. Like, the fucking Game of Thrones one where, like, fucking George R.R. Martin's like pitching Game of Thrones to Butters. And he's like, then they've wailed their wieners all around. Like, like the way he just fucking talks about it. Like, that's what I feel it's like. That I don't know. I didn't mean to get that off track of it. But every time I hear about Avatar, it's like it just. And also, too, decent movie, but it's basically just fucking Dances with Wolves. If you want to watch the movie, go watch Dances with Wolves. That's a great fucking movie. Like, you'll get the story of Avatar. Not a bad movie, just like, I just don't know why we're talking about Avatar almost, you know, a decade and a half later.
But those feel like it's probably a decent, like, it's one of those games where it feels like if you could do, like, a Harry Potter, hell, if you could do a Game of Thrones, if you could do an Avatar, it seems pretty well suited for a video game than the alternative, right?
No, definitely. And I actually, like, relatively am interested to see what this game's going to be like, because I think it's going to take a lot of influences from something like a Horizon Forbidden West slash, you know, what was the new one? Horizon, not Forbidden, or Forbidden West was a new one. Horizon Zero Dawn was the first one. Yeah. But I think it's going to take a lot of inspirations from that, considering so many of the parallels that go along with it. But anywho, long stretch there, but it just boggles my mind every time it brings up. Anywho, back on track. We brought the train back on the tracks. It fucking went straight through Sand and Neen and fucking mashed everything, but we're fucking back on the tracks. Anyways, CEO Yves Guillemot also told staff on Thursday that some projects have been canceled and that the publisher will have to cut back expenses to only, quote, what is essential as it searches for its next blockbuster hit. Quote, we have also decided to stop development of certain games so that these talents can focus on other projects that have high priority, Guillemot wrote in a company-wide email viewed by Kotaku. It continued, in the current economic context, carefully and strategically managing our investments is critical now more than ever. We must therefore succeed in strongly limiting our spending to what is essential by questioning some of our habits and reflexes and by reinventing ourselves together to make gains in terms of cost, agility, and efficiency. Guillemot reiterated that despite these issues, the company is still aiming for over $400 million in operating profits this year. In addition to Avatar, Ubisoft announced today during its first quarter earnings report that another, quote, small unannounced premium game originally planned for this fiscal year was delayed as well. It's possible that this was a reference to Project Rift, an Assassin's Creed Valhalla DLC turned standalone game. Bloomberg reported that the game was aiming to fill holes in Ubisoft's upcoming release calendar, though two sources familiar with Ubisoft's plans recently told Kotaku that the game was facing new challenges despite the rush to finish it.
If we got another fucking, like, God forbid, that's just what we needed, is another fucking DLC for more Assassin's Creed.
Right. Well, at least this one was getting a standalone. Like, supposedly it sounds like it's becoming a standalone game, which, to be honest, I would take that. And I personally like the new Assassin's Creed games, but at the same time, I feel like some of the decisions towards those games, which we'll get into, are, like, the content provided to them are more aimed at just keeping you in the game compared to, hey, here's meaningful content for the game. Like,
yeah,
not actually, like, we're giving you cookie cutter shit compared to content that is what the community is actually wanting, I guess. I don't know. Anywho, though, as far as which projects have been canceled, Gamont confirms during... Oh, wait. Yeah. Yeah, okay, I picked it up right. As far as which projects have been canceled, Gamont confirmed during today's call that at least two of them were Splinter Cell VR and Ghost Recon Frontline. The latter was a Battle Royale-influenced multiplayer shooter which was planned or panned upon its announcement last year and went back to the drawing board early in 2022 after playtest accused it of feeling too much like a Call of Duty Warzone ripoff. For the rest of 2021, then, Ubisoft has pinned its hopes on a new Mario plus Rabbids strategy game and its multi-year development headache, Skull and Bones. But while the latter has cost as much as any big blockbuster game, people who have worked on it remain skeptical it will be anywhere near the hit the company needs. According to one developer, there's little to the pirate ship game beyond what was already shown when it reemerged in the showcase livestream earlier this month. Despite a bevy of resource-gathering survival sim mechanics, they said each individual part of the game lacked depth. In today's call, Yaman blamed Avatar's delay on broader COVID-related production challenges and a desire to make the game a strong start to a new series for the publisher. Kotaku understands that at least one producer was recently pulled off another project, a major project, to pitch in. Gamont also tried to assuage investor skepticism by... cryptically pointing to a new, quote, high-value licensing partnership on mobile for one of our AAA brands, though he wouldn't share any more details when pressed by analysts. Assassin's Creed has remained one of the few big bright spots for the company, and Kotaku understands that in addition to the live service project Assassin's Creed Infinity, Ubisoft is also still planning another new open-world Assassin's Creed game called Project Red. And then an update to the article goes like this. Bloomberg's Jason Schreier reports Red is actually part of Infinity, rather than a separate game. According to two sources familiar with its development, it will be set in Asia. VentureBeat's Jeff Grubb previously reported that the game might be set in Japan, and while Kotaku can't confirm that yet, sources said that that setting, in addition to being long requested by fans, has been long discussed internally. In the meantime, multiple employees tell Kotaku different Ubisoft studios are facing fewer and smaller raises for staff, less hiring, and various budget freezes. This new wave of austerity comes as many major tech companies prepare for a potential recession. Ubisoft's problems go beyond that, however, with beleaguered ambitious projects like Beyond Good and Evil 2, the sequel to a beloved cult classic action RPG, still completely MIA in senior developers on some core franchises jumping ship. Ubisoft's next forward gaming showcase will air on September 10th. The company did not respond to a request for comment. So, Mike, a lot of stuff going on with Ubisoft, to say the
least. I was actually going to, like, when I interrupted you at the beginning of this entire section, like, after you had read for a little bit, I literally was going to make the joke that, oh, yeah, I'm sure they probably can't afford to have any other employees working on anything other than a new Assassin's Creed or a Assassin's Creed or an Assassin's Creed game. And lo and behold, that's what the fucking story had. So shocker, another fucking Assassin's Creed coming out.
Whenever
you're a one-trick pony like this development studio is, because the rest of their games are fucking ass, then I guess this is what you get.
Hey, there is a new mobile game partnership that they have going on, though, for one of
yeah,
their
your
AAA
Splinter
brands.
Cell VR just got cucked.
Yeah. Hey, no.
How does that make you feel?
To be honest, that's fine.
You can't even play
because I can't play it because I get fucking sick with VR, which pisses me off even more. I had to dust off the. What pisses me off, like, about the whole thing with VR is too, like,
that's such a big troll because you've been begging for a new Splinter Cell. To be fair,
yes, when they announced that was a huge fucking troll, and I was fucking pissed. But then they at least came back and said, hey, we're remaking the first one, like, just a standalone game, yada yada. Okay, fine. When that actually comes to fruition, we'll fucking see. But they're at least saying that's happening. So, whatever. They can cancel the fucking VR version. I don't really care about that. I feel bad, though, like, more so because my VR, my PSVR was a gift to me. So, like, I was very much like, one, that's way too much to spend on me. I'm one of those people. I'm like, you do not need to fucking get this for me. Like, but when I got it, I felt so fucking bad when I'd start playing it and I'd get sick that I'd be like, this is great. Don't get me wrong. Like, I actually like this experience, but I'm getting fucking nauseous right now. Like, that I feel so bad. Like, I keep leaving my PSVR out on its, like, stand that I have to charge, like, the controllers and things like that. It's covered in dust. It is completely, like, caked in dust. It's sitting by our TV, though. Like, on our entertainment center. I recently like wiped all the dust off of it, but I was like, one of these days I'm going to look at it and be like, I'm going to give it one more go. And then like 10 minutes later, get sick and be like, all right, no, this isn't, I can't do this.
Have you tried to take like Dramamine before you play it?
See, I thought about that. And you, to be, it's funny you talk about that too. We're going on our honeymoon. It's a cruise.
Yeah, you're going to need it for that.
And, but see, here's the thing. Like I've grown up on the water, like down the lake and stuff like that. I've grown up on boats and shit. I've never like roller coasters, fucking out on boats and shit like that. All of that, I've never ever gotten motion sickness ever.
Mm-hmm.
Like flipping upside down, all that stuff, that doesn't give me any motion sickness. It, what gets me is when I have VR on, and when I'm doing the actual, like, you know how they're for movement, they usually have here, you could just move around regularly with your controller or whatever, or you could teleport, like point to somewhere and it'll like just like instantly teleport you. Like Doom VR does that. I remember us playing that a lot, and you can teleport around. That doesn't make me sick, but what makes me sick is when I'm like Skyrim VR, for example, or Resident Evil VR. Perfect. Resident Evil 7 in VR, where you can just play with your controller and you're walking forward, like me moving with my controller and me sitting, like, but I'm sitting down and not doing anything messes with my brain so much that it's like, this shouldn't be happening. Like, like if I'm in, and I think it's like, oh, if I'm like on a roller coaster or something like that, like my brain is able to like put together like, oh yes, you are physically on this thing and it is moving you around. Like we're okay with this. Like, but it's the connection that gets lost that my brain's like just fucking throws the papers up in the air. Like, I don't fucking know. When it comes to like taking a controller, you're playing Skyrim VR, and like instead of teleporting somewhere, you're just pushing forward on the left analog stick and you're like walking around normally. My brain doesn't connect with that. That's what makes me sick. But
yeah, I get super like seasick. If I do a corkscrew on a roller coaster, it's GG. I can do loops.
Yeah.
But like I rode the Hulk ride at Islands of Adventure, and you do like 7 corkscrews in 15 seconds because you turn into the Hulk.
Yeah.
And that's like the roller coaster. Like I literally had vertigo for like 45 minutes. I couldn't get balanced. I was that fucked up.
Dude, just
so like. And I did VR just fine. Like, I played for, like, 2 hours that one time. Like, no sweat. Oh, yeah. And you were just sitting there, like, staring at me like, this motherfucker.
I mean, Matt got sick. Matt went and threw up. He was so excited to play VR. And he, like, 5 minutes later, he was like, here, Mike, you take it. And he ran. I was like, I felt so bad for him. But just imagine, like, Top Gun's on the mind now. Like, just imagine being in one of those.
Yeah.
I'd be dead. Like, I would want to do that more than anything, but I would be dead. Like, it'd be worth dying for, because that looks incredible. But, anywho. But, yeah, so, like, the VR cancellation I'm fine with. But, like, thinking about this broadly, you bring up a really good point as these kind of delays and this kind of very much funneling, like, I'm looking for a better term to use it for, but this consolidation to really... And granted, you know, the article brings up a good point at the end. The way of our economy right now is not fucking good. We are very much, if we are not in a recession now, which I believe we are very much, like, I would consider us in a recession without officially being in a recession. If we're not there, we're going to be soon. So I get it. And our economy obviously has a huge impact on the world's economy. But to me, like, I don't think that's a complete... that shouldn't be a complete driving force for entertainment businesses like this, specifically when we're talking games, where it's tough to see some of these decisions made of, yes, I personally don't want a Splinter Cell VR. Like, sure, it may be cool. That's like the idea of that is cool, but I personally don't want it. And, you know, I know what fans of Splinter Cell have been asking for, and that's just a new fucking Splinter Cell game, a new standalone fucking Splinter Cell game. That's all they want, like anything, and they're putting that out instead. But I digress. But you know, I get Ghost Recon Frontline, like cutting some of these projects. Okay, we're scrapping some of them, like that. I'm actually like the Ghost Recon Frontline cancellation is the one I'm most surprised about because of it being a free to play battle royale game, like that. Actually fucking surprises me that they were like, yeah, we're gonna cut that monetization model to focus in other areas. Like that completely surprises me. But it's interesting to think about where Ubisoft is with some of these. You know, obviously Assassin's Creed moving towards this platform now, comparative, where it's going to be Assassin's Creed Infinity, I think that's what they called it, where you're going to get new iterations of Assassin's Creed through that, where you're going to get these, you know, campaigns given to you through that. And, you know, that's all well and good, but where does, like, it just, it kind of really surprises me about where just Ubisoft is right now. So, Mike, when you see stuff like this, when you see kind of like what, you know, Yves comes out, he says, hey, here's X, Y, and Z, what's going on with this studio? We're delaying one of our bigger projects in Avatar Frontiers of Pandora, because So just don't get it wrong. That is a huge game that is coming out, mm-hmm. and that missing, like, licensed video games, for the most part, are now no longer the licensed games of yore that were very much quick cash grabs. Like, they are, for the most part, ever since Arkham Asylum, licensed video games have the care that goes into making these games is, like, in the money that's put into making these games is much bigger, and it's their actual legitimate products now that they're putting out. That missing the release of the movie is huge. It really is. So, like, when you see something like that, a move that big, kind of push back, you see the cancellation of a new VR title from Splinter Cell, this free-to-play Ghost Recon Frontline game that, to be honest, I totally forgot even came out because it was very much flash in the pan. Everyone hated it. It's fucking done. Not to mention, we haven't heard really anything about, obviously, what's next for Assassin's Creed in an official way besides, hey, Assassin's Creed Infinity is coming out down the road, but we haven't heard, hey, what's this small standalone project? What's this, you know, what's next for that? Not to mention, too, we haven't heard anything from The Division and supposedly Division Heartland, another free-to-play battle royale game. Like, is that their option? I guess what I'm trying to get at is just what do you think about big picture of Ubisoft right now? Because realistically, for the past, you know, really, I want to say last generation, they were kind of the consistent AAA publisher developer. Like, they were kind of the AAA, like, or they were kind of the third party, you know, consistent that was out there. Whenever you look at, you know, Activision and EA and, you know, all these other big staples in the third party space, like, they were the consistent ones that, yeah, maybe not everything was knock it out of the park, but they were putting out decent products consistently, and they would have these high, you know, bigger hits sometimes, like with how well the Assassin's Creed games were received when they kind of took a year off and you know, kind of like, hey, let's retool a lot of this. Just where do you what do you think right now Ubisoft's at? Like, where do you see them right now, and really, what's the future really look like now, I guess, given all these new shifts and just where they're kind of standing in this kind of unknown a little bit?
Yeah, it's definitely an interesting point in time in the history of Ubisoft and for the future of Ubisoft, because for Assassin's Creed Infinity, you know, who knows what would happen to society if we didn't have the opportunity to try to defend Abraham Lincoln from getting assassinated by John Wilkes Booth. So we definitely need that. So that's one of the reasons why this Assassin's Creed game's coming out. And quite frankly, all Ubisoft really should do, and I just sat there and got more and more mad the more and more points that you made. I'm just so fired up right now. I might be more fired up than about 343 and how bad they've shit the bed with Halo, to the fact that, like, I wish that Ubisoft
not to cut you off. I just imagine you being
like, I'm holding my hands in a fist, just like my hands are clenched and they're getting more and more clenched as you're talking.
I just imagine you're just FPS Doug whenever he's like getting like killed because of lag, and then finally just like the dude, you just gotta go, man.
You just better go. And he's like, yeah, and literally, like, hits the wall.
That's what I imagine, just in your mind, just
literally.
Fucking piece of shit, you like that?
I'm just literally sitting here giving myself hemorrhoids by clenching my butt cheeks together because I'm just so angry.
Yeah.
Because realistically, what Ubisoft needs to do, for me, every other Rainbow Six, every other Ghost Recon fan, everybody out there who has a pulse,
Splinter Cell fans games, too.
Yeah, I mean, Splinter Cell. I just really need Ubisoft to sell or dump all of their rights to those games so they can get into the hands of people who actually want to make those games good and not just use them as cash grabs. And then I just need them to only make you, like, I just want them to make
Assassin's Creed games almost like yearly, like Call of Duty was, like Madden 22, Madden 23. At this point, you might as well just make Assassin's Creed 23, Assassin's Creed 24, Assassin's Creed 25. And just that's what they need to do. They need to drop all their other IPs because they're fucking terrible at making them and just focus on Assassin's Creed because that's all they can really put out, which I'm sure that's what Yves Gaumond is deciding to do. You know, he consolidates all of his teams because he realizes those other games, they're just really bad at making them. But he's like, hey, people just keep buying Assassin's Creed. I don't know what they're going to try. You're going to try to save someone. You're going to try to save Elon Musk from getting assassinated in the future. Like, we'll just make a future joke where that's the thing. Like, I don't know where they're gonna continuously go with Assassin's Creed Infinity, but I'm sure, like, stopping the Kennedy assassination, stopping the, like, I'm sure that's what they're gonna do. And, like, good, that, like, that's all we need from as gamers. We don't need anything new from Rainbow Six. We don't need anything new from anything else. We just need to be able to save the presidents from getting assassinated. Thank you very much. Thanks for coming to my TED Talk. That's all I have to say about Ubisoft. And then we'll, now we can, you know, that's it.
Move on with our lives.
That's it. I almost, like, don't ever, like, they're getting to the point with 343 and a, like, Active
there
Blizzard.
It is. Where, there's, like, Halo for the week. There it is.
I just don't even, like, I'm about done. Like, I'm done talking about them. I just don't. I don't care if Ubisoft ceased to exist tomorrow. I would be devastated for all of the hardworking individuals who would lose their job, who have no say over what this what this company does. But I would also be saying good riddance because I cannot stand this fucking company. It's such a joke.
It's. It's weird where I have, I think, at this point, it's sad that if you would have told me, like, probably, like, maybe 6 years ago or so, like, that at this point right now, I'd have more faith in EA than I do Ubisoft to put out, like, a product that I'm probably going to feel comfortable playing or, like, and I mean that in a very broad sense of, like, I don't feel like my time and money are being abused by playing this game, that I would feel that way about EA compared to Ubisoft now, in 2022, I'd fucking laugh. Like,
yeah,
go ahead.
I don't know what was worse for my life as a gamer who loves to play video games, specifically Halo and the Rainbow Six franchise. I don't know what was worse, Red Storm Entertainment getting absorbed by Ubisoft or 343 existing. Both of those things have been cataclysmic events in my life that have brought me so much pain and suffering. I cannot even begin to put into words how bad it has really done me in my life, to the point where it has affected my happiness for far too long. And quite frankly, you know, it, for me, what was really the straw that broke the camel's back was when Siege went free to play and I spent $60 on it and I got no additional fucking content when it went free to play. None. Zilch. Zero. Yeah. It went free to play to the point where people were getting more fucking operators than I had who bought the game day fucking one. And it was free to play, but they got more operators. But because I had already bought it, I can't get those operators. That was when I was fucking done with this company. That was the point. When I got online, when it was free to play, and all the free to play players were getting all these cool operators, and I didn't have a bunch of them because I didn't spend a lot of money on the game.
Right.
You know, I get on and I don't have them still. And there's no way for me to redeem them. Yeah. But it's free to play, but I spent $60 on it, which is, by the way, less than, like, these big operator packs that had all those people.
I'll be honest, I didn't realize Siege was, well, I get, let's rephrase it. It's not free to play, but it is dirt cheap to play that game now.
It, yeah, what it, is it, like $10?
It's, when it's not on sale, it's $20, but $20 gets you, I think,
the whole year one operator pack, which I don't have. Right. And I bought the fucking game for $60.
Yeah, standard operator, the standard edition comes with the base game. The deluxe edition, which is the one that usually most people buy, come from includes year one and year two ops, and that's the one that's always like the
whole second year ops too.
Yeah, so for $30,
$16 on each side.
Yeah, so yeah, you get 16 additional ops. So it's like, and I get that, like, because you look at, like, for example, most recently hopped on Fall Guys. What did what happened when we hopped on Fall Guys on Steam specifically, when we both consider all of us, between you, me, Adam, and Kyle, hopped on for the first time since it went free to play because we bought the game when it was, you know, not free to play. What happened, Mike? What did we do?
You got a bunch of free shit.
Yeah, we got a fucking ton of free shit. Yeah. So, like, I get it. Like, I get the idea of, hey, wanting to go free to play, everything like that. I'm actually for that for games that, like, I really, like, I enjoy Siege. I, like, I haven't played it in quite a while, but, like, I play, used to, I have hundreds of hours in Siege. Like, I enjoy the game. I really do. So, like, I'm happy whenever I see games like that go free to play, get bigger audiences. I like the idea of, hey, if I'm enjoying this game, I could get the battle pass. Like, it's less commitment on me to do that. But at the same time, like, if it's a game like that, or like Rocket League, for example, or something like that, that is huge and people, a ton of people play, like, that's like, you gotta, you kind of, you can't just turn around and like, oh, you paid for this. Now, like, you're not going to get anything from it. Yeah, the game may be out for 7 years, but, like, that doesn't change anything. Like, when I went and, like, even CSGO, when CSGO went free to play, you know what happened? I got the fucking, the Prime upgrade or whatever for free, because it's basically buying the game. Like, I at least got what was being offered at the premium level. Like, I don't know. It just kind of really, really surprises me that they, like, they're going, the game, like, it is usually on sale, whether it's on the Ubisoft, like, the Ubisoft store, or if it's on, or, like, Uplay, or if it's on Steam, or Xbox, or, you know, PlayStation, or whatever, whatever platforms it's on, it's typically, it is typically on sale. You are, usually, like, a Steam sale, you can get the base game for, like, $5. Like, and I bought the deluxe edition because, again, twice, I bought the base game for Siege, like, maybe about 2 years after it came out or something like that on Uplay. But then I was like, I remember the one time on I saw it on Steam and it was on sale on Steam. And I was like, well, shit, I have a couple hundred hours into here. I want to start like getting more ops. And then I look, I'm like, well, technically I could just rebuy the game now for cheaper to get the more op, or to get more ops instead of just buying the yearly passes. So I could just double dip and buy the game. It would be cheaper for me. I'll get, you know, at that point, I think it was probably, you know, 12 new ops for the price of just like $8 or whatever. Like, yeah, I'm going to fucking do that. Yeah, I'll buy the game twice because it's cheaper to do that than actually like anything else. Like, it's just like the like when you think about it, it's just shitty. Like the idea, the monetization behind it is shitty. And it's just, I'm with you at this point. Like, I used to, like, really fucking prop Ubisoft up. But on the show, especially. Like, I would fucking, like, go to bat and be like, they are, I think they are doing right by a lot of gamers with, you know, kind of peeling back, giving you, focusing more on the content than the monetization of that content. And when they do monetize it, it's more for, you know, cosmetics and things like that. But it's getting to the point now where I look at Ubisoft, it's almost like Ubisoft and EA have traded spots, and I never thought I'd fucking believe that. And that may be a little more fanboyish of me, like, to look at it and be like, oh, blah, 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 you know, like, kind of, like, be shitty about it. But at the same time, too, like, I can't feel that fucking bad. Because, like,
yeah,
I never thought I'd say this. Like, at least EA has, like, acknowledged, like, the elephant in the room. And they've actually, like, gone to bat on some of the stuff. And not to say Ubisoft hasn't, like, Siege is in a much better place than it was at launch, because when it launched, it had it was bare bones. It barely had any fucking content. Like, they've done, you know, graphical overhauls to it. They've improved optimization for it. Like, they've done a lot of good stuff. Do not get me wrong on that end. But like, when you look at the actual content and what they're doing for the player bases and things like that, like, and the actual like monetary end of this game, it doesn't make any sense. But
yeah, I like for Ubisoft, like this goes for 343 too. But for Ubisoft, you're talking about someone who has the disc for Rogue Spear at home in Pennsylvania, has a disc for Urban Operations, somewhere has Blackthorn, which is another expansion for Rogue Spear. Mm-hmm. I bought the Covert Operations disc. I had every single expansion for Rogue Spear, because instead of releasing it in one game, they released it in parts just to get more and more money out of me. Now, that was Red Storm Entertainment until, like, closer to the end. So I have that. I bought Rainbow Six 3. On Xbox, played it for a lot of time, have it on PC, had Rainbow Six Lockdown, had Rainbow Six Vegas, had Rainbow Six Vegas 2, have hours put into those games. Like, I've played every single fucking Rogue Spear Rainbow Six game since the beginning, and this is on MSN Gaming Zone, this is with 56k dial-up, where my grandma would call, and I'd lose connection middle of the game. Like, I've been playing this game for that long. And I'm not looking for Ubisoft to come give me a reach around or drop to their knees and suck me off. Right. I don't want anything like that. But God forbid, when I spent good fucking money on your game and then you make it super discounted and also provide people all those extra operators, the least you could do is fucking give them to me. That's the least you could do. And that's like the bare minimum of doing right by your customer who like spent a lot of money on your game. Mm-hmm. And now that you made it mega cheap with all this extra add-ons, how don't the people who adopted your game early, and by the way, gave you returns on your investments early in its cycle so you could afford all of these facelifts that you've done. Mm-hmm. Like, how don't we at least get the operators that other people get on day one? And I'm not rebuying the fucking game. Right. I'm not. I know some of you out there might be thinking, well, Mike, why don't you just buy the game for fucking 10 more bucks when it's on sale? I already spent fucking 60. I'm not spending any more money on that fucking game. Right. I'm not. Just so they could go use it and to make a new fucking Assassin's Creed? Suck me from the fucking back, bud, so you can smell my ass. That's not happening. Period.
How do you
and
really?
343's never 343's never getting another cent out of my ass either. Ever. They can do the same thing. Suck me off from the back with your nose in my ass so you can smell it.
This episode of the Game Pass is brought to you by... Good thing we don't have an ad roll there.
Anger Anonymous or Anger fucking
BetterHelp.com.
Literally. God damn.
No, but like it's funny too because especially like the more I think about it, the more like I think about a lot of like multiplayer experiences that tend to do this, that go free to play or whatever, like that have usually a monetization wall that's built in there. But like. Like you said, usually, like, you get that stuff for free when they either do a re-release of the game or, like, a rebrand of the game or however you want to, you know, think about it. Like, you know, Destiny 2. Like, basically went from Destiny 2 to Destiny 2 New Light is the base game of that game to get in there now. And that's the free-to-play version. But if you buy, you know, whatever version of it, you get X, Y, and Z. But, like... If you play the base game of something now, usually that after, like, if you bought a game that is a live service game like this, typically when it does go free to play, you get a base number of things that are included. Like, hey, you've been a player for this many years, or hey, you bought the base version of this game. We're giving you the year one pass or something like that. Like, you are getting something out of it because that usually marks this kind of like, hey, this is one chapter that we're closing behind and starting anew. It's basically like 2.0 of the game, almost. That, like, you're getting a fresh restart with that game, and typically that means a new meta, new things that kind of build around that, especially when you're talking about, like, what options are available. And it seems like Ubisoft is the one that, is the third-party entity that has the hardest part, like, or hardest job, like, closing the door and leaving dollars on the... Not, I wouldn't even say leaving dollars on the table. Like, most of these live service titles that are free-to-play, like... People gladly give money to get skins and all these things. Like, it's very much a science at this point, like, proven that, yes, free-to-play works, free-to-play works when you actually focus on making great content for it, but also, too, when you focus on the content that is monetized, it's cosmetics. It's things that, like, people, like, hey, I'm really enjoying this game. I'd love to throw, you know, an extra $10 in to get this sick, like, Batman skin or something like that, like, I'm cool with that. Like, that is what people are cool with doing. Like, where Ubisoft very much still leans on the, hey, you're getting an XP boost, or hey, you're getting this and that, or it's more so time-saving so you could skip ahead to the end game and, you know, you're missing out on all this stuff, but it doesn't matter. You could pay $200 to get there. Like, that to me is not fun. Like, that takes away the fun of video games anymore. Like, I don't know. It's tough to see there.
At least give me a double XP. Something.
I mean, hey, I had how many double XPs for Halo Infinite, and, you know, they were only good for half an hour or whatever? Like, yeah, fuck it. You know, I had to drink a lot of fucking Rockstar energy drinks for that, but, yeah, fuck it. Anyways, though, like, it's just wild to me to think about, like, or what I want to, I guess, bring up, you brought up that, you know, I kind of got off track with it a little bit, but you brought up the idea of, I wish they would sell off their IP or these things, that these properties that they have, or at least, you know, chuck them out to somebody, like, license them out to somebody to actually make games under that. I'd love to see the. That's actually a good point, because I would love to see them take what looks to be what Konami's doing at this point, where Konami hasn't fucking made anything since, I think, their last actual major game that they made, quote unquote major game, was Metal Gear Survive, which was this shitty fucking zombie survival game within the Metal Gear universe. And it came out in like 2016 or something like that. And something like that, 2016 or 17, and it fucking blew. Everyone fucking hated it because Kojima was gone at that point. It has nothing to do with Metal Gear at that point anymore, post Metal Gear 5 or Metal Gear Solid 5. Like, there was no Silent Hill in years. There had been no Contra or anything like that. But realistically, their major IP are, you know, Metal Gear, Silent Hill, Castlevania, things like that. But outside of making Yu-Gi-Oh cards, they haven't done Dance Dance Revolution in a while, although that's like not necessarily as big of a pull anymore. But fact still stands, like, a lot of these IP have been so dormant because they've seen, hey, we get more money out of pachinko machines and slot machines and things like that anymore, and we could literally give like 1/100,000,000th of an effort out of that comparative to actually developing video games and publishing them. Like, so, but it sounds like from what they're kind of looking at now, they're going to go that. There's a lot of talk about, hey, they're working with various developers now to basically license out the Silent Hill franchise. And, you know, there's a lot of rumors circulating around that, Metal Gear Solid is getting remade, or Metal Gear Solid in some fashion is a new entry or a remake within Metal Gear Solid franchise. The Metal Gear franchise in general is being done by an outside development studio from Konami, whether it's Blue Point within Sony or whatever. But like, at this point, I would love to see all like third party developers do that. Like, I think what Marvel and granted, Marvel's had a couple stumbles recently, but overall, what Marvel and just Disney in general have done with their IP, where they used to go just do these quick, like, tie-in movie licenses and, you know, these licensed games that were very much dog shit. Like, overall, there were a few, like, heaters that they would throw in there, but a lot that were very much poo-poo. Like, they were bad. But whenever Marvel games really... whenever Disney established Marvel games, they brought in, they said, hey, we want to start just finding development studios that we really like what they do, and ask them, what do you want to do with our IP? What's a good idea that you have for our IP? Or which one of our IP do you want to work with? And Marvel, when they established Marvel Games, they went into, you know, Insomniac and said, we just love what you guys do. We think you're a great studio that could work with some of our IP. What do you want to do? And they, you know, kind of sat and thought on it. And Marvel brought up to them, well, do you want to do Spider-Man? And they instantly were like, yeah, absolutely. Like, and they went to work on it. And Marvel Spider-Man is one of the best games in the past decade. Like, you look at, like, the care that they're putting in. Now what they're doing with Star Wars, where they're looking out and just saying, like, okay, it's worked with Marvel. Let's take it with our other hugely, insanely pop culture, like, icon, you know, section of our business, Star Wars. Yeah, we have an idea for, you know, a game that we think would be really cool in this universe that potentially is rumored to be about bounty hunting and stuff like that. You know who does open world looting and things really well, or at least that has been, you know, garnered with that? Massive Entertainment, the guys who do The Division. Like, so they're working with Ubisoft on that because they're like, hey, that's a great idea. Like, they do this really well. We think this would be a good idea. They think it is too. Sure, let's work together. Fucking Indiana Jones, who does really great set pieces and alt history really well and all these things. Fucking Machine Games with Bethesda. Sure, let's fucking work with them. Like, it's stuff like that that just, like, I have full faith in those things because they're working with the right people to do that. Like, that to me, like, is logical. Like, I would love to see Ubisoft kind of take that route to be like, you know who would be great at doing, you know, a fucking Splinter Cell game? X, Y, and Z developer. Or, you know, it would be...
I'm getting more and more... So... Before we started recording, I played like a triple overtime Valorant game, wasted all my time, lost.
Okay.
I was already a little bit tilted.
Okay.
Now we've talked about this the whole time, which tells
me even
just,
more. I might just make this episode an airing of grievances as the title or something like that.
You should, because You know who would be perfect to make a Splinter Cell game or a Rainbow Six game or a Ghost Recon game? Vicarious fucking Visions. Yeah. And who are they fucking, who do they get gobbled up by? You know, that company would be awesome because I don't even care. You don't even have to make a new Rainbow Six experience. Just make a fucking updated one of the old ones, and I'll be happy as a clam. You did it with D2 Resurrected. I'll play that game for the rest of my fucking life till I die. I'll play Halo 1, 2, and 3 on MCC for the rest of my life until I die. I would play a new Rogue Spear or Rainbow Six 3 or something updated for the rest of my life. I would never have to buy new games. I would be set for life. I've already played those for 25 years. What's another 25?
Yeah. And that's even like, and I'm even taking that in the idea of like, hey, I would be, it's great. I'm all for like new things still coming out by all means.
Me too.
Like I'm all for that because I think that would be like, I'm all for innovation and iteration and all this stuff. Like that's great. But also too, like my biggest thing is like, they're starting to make some of those things that were so great that people want to still keep playing and are still keep playing inaccessible because they're trying to push the newer thing down. Like that's where I get a little like, you know, like I agree. Like if I could, I would just keep buying new up. Like if it was like, hey, every year you're going to pay, you know, $30 or whatever for a new update to Halo 3 or, you know, a new update to X, Y, and Z game that I love, that the formula is great and I could fucking play it forever and you're going to get all this new content. Sure, I'll do that. Yeah, that's no problem. Like, I'm okay with that. Like, I also want to keep buying these new experiences as well. But like, just because a game is old and a game is, you know, isn't the new hotness and like, oh, well, we've milked every dollar out of it that we think we can, doesn't mean that like you should completely leave that project forever. Like,
right.
I don't know. I really think that like, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. And by that, you could also still make money off of it to that degree. Like, at least in my mind, you can. Like, you could keep updating, you know, I'm all for updating, you know, new Fallouts or new Elder Scrolls or, you know, all these things. That's fine. But if there's, like, a specific experience that comes along that I'm really, you know, that people really gravitate towards, what is the, you know, what's wrong with making new content for that consistently? Like, I just don't...
Yeah, why hasn't there been a graphical or a remaster update of Oblivion? And yeah. Why hasn't there been a new expansion added to it? And it doesn't even have to be that long. But the thing that, like, I get that some people are like, oh, well, that's not very original just to remaster the games. Yeah, that's the point. You don't have to have any originality. You just have to not be a head ass and just be able to code the game.
Right.
You don't have to write anything. You don't have to do anything. You can like climb on the backs of those who preceded before you and still print money off of it. How hard of a fucking concept is that?
Like I'm okay, like I'm one of those people that like, and guess what? If you don't like it, you don't have to buy it. Like I'm one of those people that is okay with the idea of like, hey, you know, yes, we're just remastering a game that came out 10 years ago. Like, me, who is very high on preservation, I would rather see that happen. Like, sure, I'll meme about it and I'll laugh about it. But, like, if it comes out in, you know, whatever it be, 2026, which technically, like, we just got the anniversary edition of it. But if in 2026, fucking, we get another 10-year anniversary of the special edition of Skyrim, sure, whatever, that's fine. That means that game is still fucking accessible somewhere on a modern piece of technology that you can play. And that's my biggest thing about it. Like, I will gladly keep paying, like, every 10 years to buy fucking, I don't even know, just looking at my games down here. Like, God of War. I will gladly pay for a new version of just that game in 2028 just to make sure somebody past me can keep playing that. Like, because
I would be a super backer for Oblivion. I would spend $1,000 right fucking now to a fucking crowdfunded thing to get them to get their heads out of their asses and fucking update the graphics. Cause that's half the, that's like anytime I ever like try to get people who loved Skyrim to play Oblivion, they play it for 5 minutes and they're like, I just can't do it. The graphics, this, that, the other, it just aged so poorly.
Right.
And I want to be like, okay, you're an idiot, but that's fine. I understand. Like, you're right. Allowed to have your opinion. But, like, I would literally spend $1,000 right now and donate it to someone to fucking fix it. And I know that there's supposed to be a mod like Skyblivion. Mm-hmm. But, like, I don't even want Oblivion to have Skyrim's graphics because I wasn't that... Like, I didn't think Skyrim's graphics
well,
were
that's
that awesome.
Well, that's because it was, like, they're... Granted, you get some of the best work on the back end of a console generation just because, like, development studios are so... Actually have, like, the legitimate hardware... for that system at that time. Like, mm-hmm. they're able to find every inner working of how to develop on that system, you know, comparative to, like, Oblivion literally was, like, when they were developing that, they didn't know the hardware that they were developing on. They were, like,
yeah.
Bethesda was very much like, we didn't have the final specs, so we're kind of just fucking...
Winging it.
Like, and then we got it on, like, the last 6 months that we were in development, and that's just no bueno. Like, you're gonna get what you can get kind of thing. Like, so, like, I get it, but, like, the same with, like, same with Skyrim, where Skyrim was, like, kind of the opposite. Like, we have a whole console generation that we're able to kind of work with this work within the confines of this specific hardware, but at what trade-off when the console generation was over, like, 18 months after that? So, like, you know, you're not getting much, like, you're getting the back end of that from, like, you're going to end up being limited for what you want to do with the scope of the game because of that's, like, it's just such a, it's a damned if you do, damned if you don't kind of thing, because the more you wait on that, it's easier to develop on because you know more about the hardware and it's more finalized and yada yada, but at the same time, like, most people are looking forward to, or most of the time, new hardware is already on, you know, on the horizon at that point. And it's going to be, like, what you're working on now is going to look dated and all these things. So, I don't know, man. It's, I'm with you. I got put in a bad mood now. Fuck it.
Anyway. Yeah, like, it's about to be where there's, like, three companies that when they are talked about on the show, it's just instantly going to put me in my jammies. I'm going to be all fucking... full of piss and vinegar, and there's no, like, that's it. Like, I can't help it. That's how I feel.
I said I'm leaving. Fucking man. Well, Mike, before we get any more pissed off, I think that's going to do it for episode this week. Why don't you tell people where they can find you online to air their grievances at, whether it's about Ubisoft, EA, whatever, video game-wise, because that's all this episode has been, just airing grievances. Where can people find you online, talk about everything we talked about on the internet?
Yeah, you can find me where the bluebird sings at TOYSXLDIER. That's Toy Soldier. And the second O is an X. Come tell me that I'm incorrect about Bethesda and I'll tell you you're a moron. And then I'm kidding. I'll be civil with you because you're allowed to have your opinions. You're allowed to have your opinions, even though you're wrong and I hate you. you're allowed to have those opinions. Shout out to Adam DeMamp from Workaholics. What a quote. And you can find me on Twitch at MP_ToySoldier.
Nice. And as always, I'm your host, Travis White, a.k.a. Travless, on most internet platforms, including at Travless_ on Twitter. That's TRAVLESS_. You can also find me streaming time to time on twitch.tv/Travless_. And that's the same as Twitter. And if you want to play some video games with me, you can do so on Xbox Live or really any platform. Just regular old Travless. That's TRAVLESS. And this, ladies and gentlemen, has been your newest episode of the Game Pass Gamecast, your weekly go-to podcast for all things Xbox, Xbox Game Pass, and of course, PC gaming, including news, rumors, and conversation around them damn good video games. You can catch new episodes of the show when they drop each and every Friday morning on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, SoundCloud, and all other major podcast services. So be sure to subscribe, just rate, and review us. All that jazz, wherever you get a podcast at, and follow us on Twitter at GPGC Podcast. Stay up to date with everything regarding the show, video games like Antarctic giveaways. With that being said, Mike, that's going to do it for our episode this week. Thank you, everyone, for listening, sharing, and being a part of our growing community. Game on, wash your hands, listen to the doctors, Black Lives Matter, and we will see you next week.